Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. PHL Nation, I have one simple favor. It's more important than a subscription or like or anything like that, because Laborde Therapy Center, they're up for the Best of Acadiana Best Physical Therapy Clinic Award. Click the top link in the description right now for them to win, baby. Go vote, and you can win up to $250. Yes, Laborde Therapy. Our coverage wouldn't be possible this year without them. Link is in the description. And also, if you're in the need for anything physical therapy, book today, LaborTherapy.com. My achy, breaky heart. That's what we're going to do. I don't want anybody's heart to be shattered that might be watching this live stream today. But as is the case oftentimes at the LSU wide receiver position, there are going to be some folks that are not going to be happy. Because my goodness gracious, you listen to the freaking practice reports. You talk to the players on the team, which I have good fortune to do so, sometimes publicly, like Jack Pyburn not too long ago. You talk to assistants, anyone. They are so high on this wide receiver room. Holy crap. And you can, and legitimately, very much so, say that this wide receiver room is yet again the strongest position group on the team. Last year, you could make that case. The year before, you definitely could make that case. 2019, you could make that case. 2012, you could make that case. There's a lot of different years where the LSU wide receiver room is the best, at the very least, top three on the team. But here's the toughest thing about it, is that this year for me, as many of my patrons know, I like to do my own projections. I like to figure out who is going to get what amount of targets. It led me to our big BTJ projection in 2023 that he was going to have a massive, massive, massive season, which he did. Some of it, though, your ceiling can be capped by who else is in the room with you. So There are so many different things I want to discuss involving this LSU wide receiver room tonight. But there is a difficult decision that Brian Kelly is going to need to make. But it's not just him. It is Cortez Hankton that's got to make a difficult decision. How big do you want this wide receiver rotation to actually be? And not only that, how much of this year's team do you want? I didn't say that smoothly at all. How much of this wide receiver room do you want to feature Tre'Davious Green as a big slot? Because there are going to be snaps where he's essentially just going to be a wide receiver. Just like last year, we released a viral short. Shout out to Jay Smacks. He cut up something very nice for us. And boy, oh boy, it made some airwaves. My comments about Tre'Davious Green. He continues to dominate almost every practice that LSU media is able to see. So if he's going to play wide receiver, which is essentially what he's going to do some of the time, y'all, the thumbnail image, a guy like Nick Anderson, who could be the number one option on quite a few Power Four teams, he would probably be the number one option at Kentucky. He would probably be the number one option at Arkansas. There's a lot of different teams he would be the number one option just in this conference alone. Maybe Vanderbilt. What if he's the one that is left down? It might happen. But what's interesting about Nick Anderson and why I made him a thumbnail image today is that even though Garrett Nussmeier has a knee sleeve on, what's not been reported is that Nick Anderson, and it was reported today, but it's not been talked about enough, that Nick Anderson today is fully healthy. He does not wear a sleeve on his leg anymore at practice. Is he going to be the breakout wide receiver star? So what I want to do, as we say hi to Cosmos, we say hi to Brambo, we say hi to Tony Adam, we also say hi to Kyle. The LSU Monster says, we'll get into that question a little bit later. And shout out to Julie, who's already super chatted. I want to talk about this wide receiver room, if it can even have any type of success, if the LSU run game gets going, right? Because if you go back to the Aaron Anderson film study, we discussed something called ceiling outcomes. And we also talked about something called a nut run out. And that's not a pause situation. That's more of a poker term, but it's also used in fantasy football as well. Where last year, a guy like Aaron Anderson got the absolute best run out for him to have the season that he had last year, where LSU didn't have a run game. LSU had trouble passing down the sidelines deep in the explosive pass game. And Garrett Nussmeier didn't ever scramble. And Tre'Davious Green really didn't get factored in as a big slot until really the Baylor game, where he was like a consistent player early, right? He was a big slot, obviously, versus Ole Miss, where he scored a touchdown, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, where he scored a touchdown, and so on and so on. So, you know, it's important to factor that in when you're doing any types of projections. But what you hope for this year is that you don't have to rely so much on Garrett Nussmeier and the wide receivers, because you're going to have a run game. Right? Is LSU going to be able to have some type of run game this year? It's a question that quite a few of us just keep asking over and over and over and over and over again. So we get into what happened at practice a little bit earlier. I've read the practice reports, talked to two different media members that were at practice at the same time. Of course, I will be honest. I'm always honest with this. I have not spoken to someone that was at the full practice that's in-house, right? But the media was able to see the full practice, see 11 on 11s and so on and so on. To me, the biggest story from practice earlier today was the media talking about this ridiculous catch that Xavion Thomas made versus DJ Pickett. And I had a tweet thread that kind of got passed around about Xavion going back to his Mississippi State days. He was always really good at making very difficult catches. Last year, he had a very difficult one versus USC, and then he dropped a difficult one for a touchdown versus Ole Miss, and he dropped a huge one versus Texas A&M, where he got clobbered over the middle but he could have caught it and kept the drive alive, but he didn't, and we had to punt. So for me, I think Xavion's going to be a piece. And the thing about this is that Xavion has one of the safer roles to me in this offense because he is definitely the best yak gadget kind of guy. I think of the receivers that are on this team right now, outside of maybe Aaron, he is the best tackle breaker after the catch. And he's different than Aaron because I do think he's faster. And I also think he's more comfortable in the end around, pop pass, handoff kind of game, right? So I think Xavion is going to have a role. We've always been super high on him. You know, I've shared this plenty of times. As a raw prospect, Xavion got a better grade for me than Aaron. And obviously Aaron has been better. That was one of my bolder calls because Xavion was a three-star and Aaron was a top 100 recruit. So I am a big believer in Xavion. But the thing is, with practice reports, all receivers have big days, right? There's going to be some people left out. And that's why you see the thumbnail image right there with Nick Anderson. It's hard for me to see a world where he's left out. So what I want to do is show you something from last year, all right? So I want you to look at the snap counts that LSU played last year. And this is the raw total snap counts for LSU. There was four wide receivers that played north of 250 snaps last year. Four. And it probably would have been five if Chris Hilton was healthier. All right. So 250 snaps. Let's just round it up to 300. Let's say you're healthy for all 13 games and you play 300 snaps. That comes out to 23 snaps per game, which means you are a piece of the offense. All right. So there were five different wide receivers that, to me, you would consider to be a real piece of the offense. You want to throw Chris in there. Six wide receivers. Now, you must factor in that only two of those wide receivers are gone. Kyren Lacy and, of course, CJ Daniels, who led the team in snaps. So, if there's only two that are gone, and you factor in two big profile transfers, you also have to factor in Chris Hilton. Yes, all the Mason Taylor snaps are gone, 862 of them. That'll probably be somewhat split between Bauer Sharp and a guy like Tre'Davious Green. But just simple math will tell you that if LSU wants to run Tre'Davious more as a receiver and have Bauer Sharp play the tight end, which would technically put them in 12 personnel, that means wide receiver snaps in general could go down. Also, if LSU is a more explosive offense, and Chris obviously can provide that for you, that means there's going to be fewer snaps to go around. Because if you hit more explosive plays and score more explosive touchdowns, the amount of snaps just in general go down. So I understand that this wide receiver room is very, very ambiguous. It's very difficult to determine who's going to be what. And that's why, for me, I released a deep Patreon podcast yesterday about being careful with practice reports and who's having a good day and who's not having a good day. Or who, because wide receivers show out in practice more than anyone else. All right. Now, we go to Cosmos, and it's interesting that he brings this up. What about Destin Hill? Well, coming up in just a moment, we don't have a guest tonight, but I do have something for you guys a little bit later. I did record an interview with an analytics ace who is really high on Destin Hill, really high, mostly because he's from Florida State. But he's like, hey, Destin Hill would have been probably the best receiver on Florida State this year if he decided to stay. So he leaves there and then comes to LSU, where there is no guarantee he's going to play. But he's very good, right? He's a former top 150 guy. He had the same recruiting ranking almost to a T as Malik Nabers in the most loaded wide receiver state class maybe ever, the 2021 Louisiana wide receivers. So, man, it's going to be wild. It is going to be absolutely groundbreakingly dumb, this wide receiver room. And here's the thing. If you can't run the football, maybe all the mouths get fed. Maybe they do. Okay. Now, I have rambled for long enough. Let's get to as many comments as we possibly can. Sherry Berry, good to see you. Rainbow thinks Nick Anderson is overhyped. Chance says Xavion running out of the backfield interests him. Yeah, that interests me as well. I'm telling you, man. Sam is picking the odd men left out. Hill and Parker will be left up probably and then get moved up to alphas next year. That is true. Destin Hill. It depends on how the eligibility situation is with them. Because this is his fifth year removed from high school. So he doesn't have a COVID year because he was a 2021 recruit. So it just depends on how that all gets tabulated. I have no idea because there were years where he wasn't available for Florida State. So I don't know how that works for him. But it would be nice considering LSU will have a wide open wide receiver room going into next year that both Hill and Parker stay around. All right. So what I want to do, and do not forget, we've got some absolutely positively massive guests lined up for later this week, okay? Thursday night, the godfather of LSU football recruiting coverage, Mr. Mike Scarborough, will join us. You don't want to miss out on that Thursday night at 6:30 Central. Someone mentioned that they were a Tiger Bait fan a little bit earlier. So, yeah. Let's go to Holden. As loaded as our room is, do we have any elite separation guys on the outside? Yes, Chris Hilton. I would be comfortable saying Chris Hilton. I think separation is a difficult word to use, right? Because, you know, for me to say you're an elite separator to go along with your elite speed, that's tough for me to get there, right? Because separation is such a weird term. Now, in the NFL, there are some analytics folks out there who like to use separation. There's a stat out there called ASS. Literally, that's what it's called. It's not a curse word. It's not a bad word. Average separation score. Fantasy points data tabulates it. And it's different, right? A guy like who's not like super, super, super fast, a guy like A.D. Mitchell was a really good ASS receiver last year. Justin Jefferson has good ASS scores, according to fantasy points data. That's going to get clipped. And I get clipped all the time for my thickness comments. But, you know, as far as Chris is concerned, I would consider him a very good separator, but he is elite at stretching a field. As good as it gets, honestly, at stretching a field. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the all-timers are like Terrace Marshall, Justin Jefferson, and so on. But field stretchers, ADOT, all that stuff, Chris Hilton is elite in. Where he needs to become more elite is a tackle breaker after the catch. I do think LSU wants to use him in the slot more. That has been a Brian Kelly thing, by the way, putting his best receiver in the slot. So there you go. We get our first super chat, or our second. Obviously, LA Mom with a very nice Venmo to start things off. Let's go to Harry. Are all your sources reporting the same thing regarding the large amount of tackles for loss? The answer to that is yes. And is this concerning the great Carter Bryant? Yes. Okay. I don't know if I could consider myself great. I like to think I'm kind of good at this, but there are better ones. All right. So, yes, it is concerning. It is very concerning. Very, very, very concerning. Now, I won't go too deep into this because I did release a 20-minute Patreon podcast on this topic yesterday. But when you do some of the type of analysis that you do, and I like to promote and associate myself with the truth tellers, right? The YouTubers that piss you off are good. Now, if they troll and piss you off, that's different. I tried and I troll. Sometimes it is a little fun. I tweeted out a John Mateer joke that went viral yesterday with the Venmo scandal going on with that. But Oklahoma fans, I might have lost a few Power Hour SEC subscribers. But, you know, there's a difference between like trolling, joking, but trolling and acting like you're serious. So when I am critical of a player, I try to be as fair-minded as I possibly can. Okay. I do not think the general LSU public understands what actually went wrong with the LSU offensive line last year. All right. There are so many different things that we can discuss that we have discussed over the summer that I'll go over briefly here because we do just get more viewers, you know, as the season comes around. All right. So I get this question a lot. What went wrong with the LSU offensive line last year? Well, number one, Emory Jones was a disappointment compared to expectations. That doesn't mean he was bad. It's just he wasn't elite. Will Campbell was still elite. Emory just wasn't as good as we thought he was going to be, right? But where the problem was at center, all right? Now, I've spent way too much time researching this because in the grand scheme of things, it's something that happened last year and this year could be totally different. But we were so bad at center last year. It was a massive, massive, massive problem. Why do you think I get into these shouting matches with fans, other YouTubers, so on, defending Garrett Nussmeier? Because the hardest thing to overcome as a quarterback is bad center play. Now, is that a shot at DJ Chesser? Yeah, it is. But it's also a shot at the offensive infrastructure because the hardest position for me to have a backup is center because the center does the single most important thing you do on every play, which is snap the football. Nothing exists unless you have a good snap to the quarterback, right? And DJ Chesser is an elite snapper of the football. The problem is everything else was a problem. Everything else. And look, PFF grades are not the be-all end-all. It's just not, okay? It's not. You should never take PFF grades as law. But LSU has rarely ever had a starter with a PFF grade under 50, all right? 50 for PFF means a replacement level player. And DJ Chester's season-long grade on PFF was a 50, right? So LSU made the right move to go get a center who did not have a grade quite like that, all right? So they go get Braylon Moore, and now they're trying out DJ Chester at guard, which is a better position for him. I don't think he ever should have been a center, but they tried it out. He had an elite recruiting profile. He has elite athleticism. By every LSU metric that they use to grade athleticism, he was elite, right? And now they're trying him out of guard, and it's been tough. Like, it's not been just atrocious, but they're rotating a bunch of different people in at guard. They're trying Paul Mabinga at guard. And look, Paul Mabinga was a year two, three-star out of a very competitive high school in Buford, Georgia. And he was put into action last year. And his PFF grades were worse than DJ Chester. All right. So I go deeper into this in Patreon. You can go listen to the podcast. Sign up. You get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. We also have another Patreon announcement coming up a little bit later in the show tonight. But so we had two offensive linemen starting last year that were a below 50 PFF grade. And those two guys are the ones that we're trying to place at left guard right now. Now you have other options. You have Josh Thompson, but you're trying to make him the right guard right now. You have Cohen Echols, who's getting a lot of looks at guard as well. But, Harry, to answer your super chat the best I possibly can, LSU's trying, and they have done a lot of right things to try and fix this, all right? This is not entirely on LSU. I understand people want to absolutely, positively obliterate Brad Davis. I will defend him to the high heavens because his recruiting is just so damn good. Same thing is true with Brian Kelly, right? And I'm putting all my chips in on Kerryus Kern being a very good player at LSU. It's really hard for me to see a world where he's not going to be good, okay? Obviously, you don't have Solomon Thomas. He's dealing with an injury right now. And then you have some other, like, deeper cut pieces that you could look at as far as the middle of your offensive line. But there's a few things to also factor in. Number one is it is just practice. Could they magically turn the lights on and dominate versus Clemson? Maybe. I also could draw higher podcast numbers and Taylor Swift on New Heights tomorrow. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. So, yeah, it's interesting. There is a piece of me, though, that wants Cohen Echols to be the left guard. Because that also, because I don't know what I have in him other than a bowl game versus Baylor where he was fine. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. If you were to ask me today, though, Harry, I would say that your starting left guard is probably going to be DJ Chester. Probably. Okay. Now, is it uncomfortable talking about players not being good at football? Yes, because I want everybody to succeed. I like everybody that puts on the LSU uniform. There are a few LSU players that have ever put on that uniform that I just do not like. Very few. Okay. DJ Chester works his ass off. You know, he got announced to the SEC community team and all of it. But I am very concerned at left guard. I really do think so. I am very concerned. Okay. So, Harry, thank you for your super chat. You were more so talking about the tackles for loss. Some of it is just Bernard Gooden being a good football player. That's part of it. That's part of it as well. Okay. But then again, you know, I will say it a gazillion times. I am not at practice. I'm not the one seeing it. But there are serious ball knowers who do go to practice, whose information I do trust. And there you go. You should be excited, though, about the LSU defensive line. Also, I think Jack Pyburn has all ACC potential. Am I biased? Yes, I'm very biased because I've gotten him. Know his family a little bit. So I'm really rooting for Jack. But, you know, my favorite player personally on the defensive line is a tie between Jack and Gabriel Relaford. So that's number 44, number 19. But the guy that can really move the needle for LSU is number 6, Patrick Payton. Boy, oh boy. It's a money year for him. Now, I'll be honest. My Florida State peeps are saying, hey, there are times when Patrick can feel detached. But y'all, there's nothing more than I like than a defensive end batting down passes. Holy crap. It can completely change a defensive outlook. It can completely make a quarterback very worried about throwing the football over the middle or into the flats. There are not many defensive ends that have ever played the game of college football that have the ball skills that Patrick Payton has. He is elite in that category. Now, is he an elite edge bender? No. You're not going to mistake him for Abdul Carter or Mike Green or Arden Key, if you will. But holy crap, he is so damn good at getting his hand on the football. It's going to be big for LSU this year. Let's go to Harry. He follows up. My concern is that if things go sideways, some of these transfers will lay down. Okay. Okay. And you're right, Harry. The pressure is coming from the inside. Now, before I follow up, I want to when I go on these rants, I'm able to miss a few comments, so we'll go through a few of these. Okay. Let's go to H-Town Creole. Let's put this to bed. All right. Now, I will say, we've interviewed Lance Hurd on this channel before. I have only spoken to Emory Jones like a few times on like Instagram, but it wasn't anything else other than like a few like emojis and all of that. Okay. Lance Hurd was not better than Emory Jones. He wasn't. I do Tennessee film studies. He is not better. Okay. I can have Tennessee fans join this chat. I can tweet it out and join this chat, and they will tell you the same thing. All right. So Lance Hurd was not better than Emory Jones. Now, I can hear out a discussion, hey, we could have kicked Emory inside and then have Lance Hurd play right tackle. Then you got to move out Miles Frazier. And Miles Frazier was a good player. Now, he struggled versus the elite defensive tackles he faced. But Miles Frazier was a very good football player. Right? Dominated the Senior Bowl. Okay? I'm just telling... And trust me, I was cheering for Lance at Tennessee because we did not play them. And I understood why he went. Got a good deal, and he got to start at tackle. There was no starting reps for him at offensive tackle this year. I totally backed his decision. I did not trash him at all. Right? But he was not good. Now, he might be better this year. Okay? Get a Venmo from Samuel. Shout out to Samuel and him helping me with my fitness journey. Shout out to you, Samuel. I really do appreciate it. Okay. Bullish or bearish talk. What's up, Cody? Welcome to the channel. There's Samuel right there. He'll get you fit. If you want to get with Samuel and how he helps me, I've lost 20 plus pounds. And something else about Samuel, I've eaten like shit. I even texted Samuel this weekend. I've eaten like absolute trash, and I'm still under 200 pounds. At the beginning of this year, I was consistently in the 220s. I'm under 200 pounds. I'm like Bernard Gooden, an undersized defensive tackle. Now he's 268, and I'm 198, and he's actually good at defensive tackle. I was not, but still. I'm telling you, Samuel will get you right. Just hit me up. Okay. Now, coming up next, we have a pretty special guest in clip form about one concern about LSU football going into next year. Are you missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of Laborde Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at Laborde Therapy worked hard to fix that back, your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes. It doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf? And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, LaborTherapy.com, with locations in Cairncrow, Youngsville, Morgan City, and Crowley. LaborTherapy.com. LaborDeTherapy.com. Let's go. Don't forget, under the description or in the description, it's the second link. You vote for Laborde Therapy for the best therapy clinic in all of the Acadiana region. All you got to do is click that link. You're automatically entered. If you send me a screenshot that showed me that you vote to win my Malik Nabers Blue Sapphire rookie card, over here, and he's in an LSU uniform, by the way. I don't think there's a whole lot of New York Giants fans out there. I will send it to you for one of you. I've already gotten screenshots from Skipper, Jamie, Mark, Chris, and a few others. Send it. You have until August 15th, right? Just go to the link down below. Please click it. Please vote for him. It could really help them out a long way. Now, I want to talk about variance, right? It is hard to be consistently good at something that is high variance or of high difficulty. I think that's a better way to describe it. So LSU offensively, so much of it was, hey, we're in 3rd and 7. Garrett Nussmeier, please bail us out. That was our offense. That was it. You really want to break it down? We weren't a great explosive play team in terms of deep passes. We weren't great at running the football. We weren't the most efficient on early downs. Honestly, go back, in particular, our high-leverage close games. So much of it, 3rd and 6 or longer, Garrett, go find a way to get it done. Now, what I decided to do was find a statistician, a man who is changing the college football world with a site called GameOnPaper.com. Saeem Galani. I asked him about 3rd and 7 or longers earlier today, and this is what he had to say. It seems to me, historically, that would be really hard to replicate.
Because there's two things that will happen. You will regress to the mean just generally. The odds are not in your favor, in spite of, like, and you may have a great strategy. That's one thing that can happen. But if you already shown your strategy, people will adapt eventually. And that's why you'll see, like, any novel idea be either slowed down or overtaken in about a year. Once it, like, they've had a whole offseason to look at it and be like, okay, we can stop this. And here's how we're going to, either with personnel or scheme.
Right. And that's where I am right now.
Basically, like anything, like any novel idea, they will immediately eventually figure it out.
And the way I look at it is, and I probably, it would be really hard for me to find all of this, but I would think that teams that are good on 3rd and long, which historically is a very difficult down to be great, to be elite S tier at, which LSU was last year.
The other thing is, like, being good on 3rd down isn't necessarily, like, always the most important, because you have 4 downs, and that's important to remember. Is like, some teams set themselves up for an easy 4th down. Because they're at least aggressive enough to go for it on 4th down. And, like, they're in favorable, they take their situations and possession seriously. I think that's, like, probably the thing that's become most notable in recent years, is, like, teams are starting to value their possessions because they realize how many fewer they can have if they're not running tempo.
So you will get the full conversation with Saeem Galani, some of his concerns about LSU football. Patreon.com/LSU football. That full conversation will drop tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. How does Vegas set their lines? We talked to him about that as well. All right. But once again, that was one of the coolest conversations I've had in a while regarding college football analytics. So, yes, you want to know why running the football is very important? It's because of that. Now, you look at a lot of the 3rd down conversions last year LSU had. I wouldn't necessarily consider them to be lucky. Garrett is really good at intermediate stuff. I will say, though, there were 3 players who converted those 3rd downs. And 2 of them are gone. Mason Taylor was a big one. Kyron Lacy was another big one. But you do get Aaron Anderson back. Another good 3rd and long converter was, ironically, Caden Durham. That was his introduction to all of us, his 3rd and 7 touchdown run versus South Carolina. Now, I didn't ask Saeem, well, I think I kind of sort of did. The one thing, though, I will give Brian Kelly a lot of credit is he is very analytically sound. You know, there's some statistical things that he has brought up in interviews that I do disagree with him on, but you look, LSU has been one of the best in college football at actually running the football on 3rd and long. They have won so many games doing that. South Carolina was an example. Ole Miss back in 2022, they converted a few third and longs. The Ole Miss game this past year, Josh Williams had a third down run, which set up the Garrett Nussmeier fourth down Aaron Anderson ball. So LSU has been really good at a few of these third down and fourth down analytical decisions, right? But overall, as Saeem just brought up, first and second down is very important, okay? We've added Cheetah. What's up, Cheetah? Welcome to the channel. I got followed by a country music musician earlier today. That's not common, even though I have a history in country music. Okay, let's go to Samuel's Super Chat. And it's a very, very good one. Carter, it seems like the last few years we've made the wrong decision on who to start in the first game. Are we going to make that mistake again on the back end on defense? Here's the hard truth about starting the right players in the first game. All right. Is that nobody knows who the right players are. Nobody. You want a good example of this? I want you to think. Who are some of the biggest, most important MVP players in LSU football history? Now, obviously, there are obvious ones. Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow, Tyrann Mathieu. Right when they got to the schools, they were so unfreaking believably talented that they started right when they got to LSU. Okay. Now, Tyron was a superstar in game one, and obviously Joe turned into what he was. Jaden Daniels turned into what he was. But did you know that PHL has interviewed someone in the past that has won an MVP at LSU, and he did not start for the team that very season? And his name was Patrick Queen. Now, Patrick Queen did an interview with us a few years ago. Was one of our best interviews we've ever done. And he explained what happened. Ed Orgeron thought he was a backup. Or it wasn't quite that. It was some positional minutia, if you will. But Patrick Queen said, hey, I didn't start the first four games. And it just kind of, like, when you think about it, it's like, it's wild. Like, we're not talking about his year one or year two, we're talking about year three, where, you know, we don't win the Natty if he doesn't exist. You know, his two best games were the two biggest games of the year. So the hard part about it, Samuel, is you just don't know. You just don't know. Now, you want to limit who you start and those players that shouldn't be starting that are starting. You want to put your best foot forward, right? But it's hard. It's really, really, really hard. Like, for instance, I said it at the time that in 2022, in Brian Kelly's first ever game, I would have not started Cam Wire at right tackle. And I like Cam Wire. I wouldn't have started him, though. But that's a bold decision. Who would they have put there? I'm serious. Who would they have put there? There's a few different things they could have done there. Okay? You just don't know. That's why I am very anti starting season openers with difficult opponents. It is such a big, big, big risk. Like, I understand that, hey, Carter, you're just giving a pussy-ass cop-out way of describing season openers. Dude, we're LSU. We should be ready to go. Yeah, true. I totally understand that. But you don't know. You don't know. You never know until the bullets start actually flying. You really don't know. Okay? Like, that's something I will always defend LSU coaches on. Like, as critical as I was of, like, Paul Mabinga, DJ Chester, and why I would talk myself into potentially starting Cohen Echols or someone else at left guard than those other two, it's still hard for me to get there, right? Because you just don't know. Now you have good ideas. Like, it's going to be really hard for us to not see Mansoor Delane not being the CB1 on this team. Like, it's really hard to see a world where, you know, obviously this is an extreme example, but like Whit Weeks not being good. I mean, I think everybody on in the stream, all 257, 258 of you watching this on various platforms, you would like to think that he's going to be good. So we'll see. Harry's on fire tonight. I've also heard Mbinga snapping the football some. Braylon Moore is going to be your center, and that should be your center. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay. Oh, look at this. One of the most popular guests in the history of PHL will be joining us tomorrow at 6:30 Central. I'm telling you, this person's first appearance, she got you guys hyped up. Now, I won't say who, but the PHL diehard, you know who that is. It's going to be pretty freaking wild. And I will be honest. I like to think of myself being a true sayer. She is not afraid to say anything. She's got no filter, so you're going to love it. So she'll be on tomorrow at 6:30, Thursday night, Mike Scarborough. Okay? Alex, what's good, bro? Let's go. Dude, PHL is just a bunch of swole folks now. Like, the fart master, my guy LSU Monster, and we got Samuel, we got Brambo, Futch, let's go, Futch, John. Whoa, John. Whoa. Ah, ah, ah. Ooh, Alexander. Granted, Denver Harris did not start, but good luck to Denver Harris at UNLV. Oh man, I love it. I see a few Amber Heard comments. I don't know how the chat got into Amber Heard, but I don't want to dig too deep because that is way out of my comfort zone. You know what's interesting though is, look, when you do football content, it's mostly going to be males. We do have a higher amount of females compared to when I look at other college football channels. Our number one fan is LA Mom. She does not miss a live stream. She was our first super chatter tonight. I love females in the college football space, right? But the listening habits of females and males are just totally different things. So yesterday, I was listening to a fantasy football podcast. I'm a big fantasy football player. Right now, we're partnered with Fast Draft Fantasy. Sign up now. Use my promo code Carter. It goes a long way. And Fast Draft is just, if you love fantasy football, you'll love it, right? But what's interesting is my wife, I thought this was a fad that just doesn't exist anymore. She listens to nonstop murder investigations. And I probably shouldn't say the M word. That might get me demonetized. But unalive investigations, right? So I'm listening to a fantasy football podcast. She's trying to chill because we did the live stream. I did a SEC live stream last night. So I was like, I'm tired. Let me go to the other room, do a fast draft fantasy. And so I put a podcast on. But I walk in. And what do you see? I see my wife listening to the Brian Koberger stuff. And I hear, the last thing I want to hear is he carved something in his victim's leg. I'm like, what are you listening to? What is this Saul 7? This is like real life stuff. And yeah, it's sad what happened. But this has been in the news 5 months. My wife has got to listen to every lawyer on YouTube, and these lawyer YouTube people, holy crap, dude, they draw numbers. Numbers. And I'm like, man, I should have gone to law school to become a YouTuber. And I love law nerds. I am one guy that you should follow. He's one of my college buddies. And he is a Baton Rouge attorney. Now, I know there's all these different injury attorneys in Baton Rouge, you know. But one of my college buddies, his name is Attorney Ryan. He's on social media. Attorney.Ryan. And he looks like an attorney. You would think he could be walking in with freaking Ice Cube. Or no, it's Ice Tea on Law & Order. You would think he looks like a lawyer. Chris Maloney, watch out for Attorney Ryan. I will say, though, his Instagram feed is, like, very interesting. But I was saying to myself, I was like, man, I should have become a lawyer and then got into YouTube, because then I would be drawing some numbers. Your wife does it too? What? I thought this was a fad when the Serial podcast, Anand Syed, whether there was what was going on. So LA Mom, the chat wants to know, do you listen to the murder podcast? C-Dub! I thought you were better than that, C-Dub. C-Dub is like, yeah, I watch Power Hour LSU and C-SPAN or whatever the murder channel is now. Oh, God. Harry as well. Type Y for yes, type N for no. Males and females, if you are married to another female. There you go. Does your wife listen to murder podcasts? Jamie, oh my God. Jamie, you just joined our Patreon. I just sent you one of my favorite Jamar Chase cards. It's so sad. So sad. Don't forget, PHL Nation, we will be in Monroe this weekend for the Monroe Card Show, Parks Card Show. Pull up. Here we go. It'll be at the Monroe Civic Center. I'll be there at 9 a.m. And I highly recommend you get there early. I don't know if I'm going to stay till 5. What is this? Taking too long. What the hell is this? Should I bring this hairstyle back? Why won't this upload? Dude, this is driving me insane right here. Okay, here we go. Have I been researching those Clemson Tiger Cousins? Yes. I'll go through the big jersey numbers you should know. It's hard to remember names. I hate it when like preview podcasts don't list a player's jersey numbers. And there's a flyer for you if you want to take a screenshot. 401 Lee Joyner Memorial Expressway in Monroe, Louisiana. the max you have to pay to get in is $2. But if you wear a jersey, you get in free. If you're a child, you get in free. So there you go. LA Mom, God, dog. Why is it? Why? What is up with this? We've had one male say that they listen to true crime, but seven females in the last 10 minutes say, yeah, the bloodier, the better. Oh, DJ Pizza. It's just sad, dude. I can't make the Monroe card show. Pizza, you're failing me. Every single card show meetup I've ever done in Shreveport, you have been in every single one. You're telling me you can't drive to Monroe? I didn't know how far Shreveport was to Monroe. It's about 2 hours, right? It's a distance. But we'll see. It's basically free to go. Now, SCW, you're the only one, man. And that's fine. Whatever floats your boat. I want me to send you the fantasy info. Jay Hodge Sr. He has never commented in the history of PHL. And Jay Hodge says, you know what I'm going to do? I've got to say what I've got to say on this topic. We have a female joining us tomorrow night. None other than Daily Joy. That'll be my first question for her. Now, if she says it, y'all don't tweet her and tell her that's going to be the first question. I want to put her on the spot. DJ PT, you're letting me down. You're letting me down, bro. And always trusting you with the boudin balls. So DJ Pizza does this thing. Anytime I do a Shreveport card show, he brings me boudin balls. What is it? Bergeron? Shout out Bergerons. Now, a few more things. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. Can't wait for this weekend. Can't wait. Monroe, Louisiana. So let's have a conversation briefly about Clemson and the key jersey numbers you need to know. Quarterback, you know who the quarterback is, all right? Offensive line, you're not going to track an offensive lineman, but they have a good offensive line. Number 12, Wesco, is who you need to look out for. I do think he's changed his jersey number. I do think he has moved to a single digit, but Wesco is a good player. Zero is a good player. One's a good player and wide receiver. On the defensive side of the football, number 3 is probably their best player, and number 11. Those are the players you need to know. Their linebackers are good, too. I mean, this could be the best defensive line we face. This could be the best linebacker duo we have faced as well. Sammy Brown, who is a lower digit number, has a mullet, and then 47 is a good player for them as well. So I'm excited. I will say there is a piece of you neutrally that likes LSU in this spot. Okay. Now, I hate to say this, but I really hate to say this. But one of my idols, Mr. Colin Cowherd, pissed me off earlier today. Holy crap, he pissed me off. A bizarre, kind of sort of anti-Jaden rant, and he's been one of the biggest Jaden guys out there. I tweeted about it. You could check it out. Jaden doesn't need me to defend him. But this revisionist history of, hey, you know, Jaden was in a tougher situation than Caleb Williams was in Chicago. I don't know if I agree with that. At all. We can get into the coaching and the ownership differences, but Jaden had very little to work with. The offensive line for the Commanders was a bottom five unit going into last year in the minds of many. And at the end of the year, PFF had him as a top five unit in the entire NFL. So you mean to tell me all these offensive line gurus are just dumb before the season, and they magically became a top five unit When has that ever happened? That a bottom five unit in the NFL magically the next season became a top five unit. All right. And I'm talking about like preseason prognostications. That never happens. Jaden's number two wide receiver was a young man by the name of Alameed Zaccheaus. That's his real name. If I would have asked you, hey, what sport is Alameed Zaccheaus known for? You would have guessed badminton before you would have guessed football. Then we get into the defense. And it's funny, last year I went viral clipping something from the herd, him talking about how bad the Commanders' defense was. Jaden's defense was the number 28th ranked defense in the NFL. He took them to the NFC Championship game. Now, it'd be different if he was game managing. Y'all, his best ESPN QBRs happened at the end of the season. And then Colin said something like, hey, and I'm a big, just the biggest Colin Cowherd fan. I've gotten texts saying that I sound like him from time to time. I'm not nearly as good as he'll ever be at doing this. I will do what he does at one day, right? But this was the most asinine thing he said. He said he didn't beat any playoff teams. What? He beat playoff teams in the playoffs, okay? And by the way, that Eagles blowout was closer than what the scoreline indicated from a Jaden perspective, right? Like, he moved the football up and down the field. It's just the defense fell apart, and they fumbled a kickoff return. Jaden was so ridiculously good during the most difficult portion of the season with Samuel Cosmi getting an injury versus the Lions. I know I do a lot of Commander stuff, and this bores some of you, and you just talk about the current LSU team, but it drives me insane. And something else that's pissing me off is people that don't want to put Jaden in the top six or seven quarterbacks in the NFL because he only did it for 1 year. What the hell are you? What did you not watch what happened? Anyone that actually watched the NFL last season would definitely say that Jaden was closer to the core four than he was number 10. Right? So I didn't understand it. Colin broke my heart earlier today. Broke my freaking heart with his rant. Broke it! It is insane. It is insane to me. Insane to me. That nobody just wants to admit that two of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL are both clearly from the same school. It never happens. It never happens. I rest my case. Colin was too busy sipping Mai Tais at the freaking LIV golf tournament this weekend. Comes back and fires these types of takes. And he was saying, well, you know, Andrew Luck was better than Jaden Daniels as a rookie. Stop it! The only thing Andrew Luck was better at as a rookie than Jaden Daniels is having a neck beard. That's it. That's it. And Andrew Luck was damn good. But Jaden Daniels is in a league of his own. Now, to close, my thoughts go out to friend of the channel. I met this young man. He yes-sired, no-sired me while I was blitzed out of my mind at Mardi Gras. Met him as an 18-year-old kid, baby-faced, going to LSU, and his name is Will Clapp. True story. I was at the Holiday Inn with one of my lifelong friends, Bryce, and his family, and they introduced me to Will Clapp, and they're like, hey, this guy does LSU media stuff, and I was a student, or I was a little bit older than a student. I was in my mid-20s, and I was drunk off my ass, as one is during Mardi Gras. And Will Clapp, yes, sir, no, sir, me. He had a friend of his that became a ball boy on the team. And that was one of the most impressive conversations I had as a high schooler. And I hated it because I was talking to someone that was actually an impressive high schooler, which I wasn't, and actually an elite athlete, which I also wasn't. So I was like, man, here's this human being that does everything right, and me that doesn't. But Will Clapp had an injury. He is out for the season. He's back with the Saints, and I hate that. I hope he's not done playing. So I'm cheering for Will. Okay. Take a few more here. Clemson also on a week one losing streak. Alex, you know what's funny? And this is why I'm glad you're here and hope you continue to be here. LSU YouTube's a competitive space. But I'm glad because you push me. I totally forgot about that Duke no-show. I totally forgot. All right, so what he's referencing is not this last year, but the year before, Clemson did go on the road and got their asses handed to him by Duke. Now, it is important to note, and this is the wildest, wildest college football stat, that Duke has averaged 9 wins over the past 3 seasons. Yes, that is a real stat. The Duke Blue Devils in football has averaged 9 wins. Okay. Now, I might be finished, but there are other great shows. Once again, check out my good friend AYS. Also, at the same time, patreon.com/LSU football. I know I bring it up all the time. You will get that full conversation with Saeem Ghelani in the morning. You will also get 20 minutes of podcasting I released last night. There are 3 players that are concerning the hell out of me that will play a lot for LSU this season. Know who those 3 players are. I'm very concerned. Go to patreon.com/LSU football. Okay. Now, one free thing you can help us with, and you can also win a Malik Nabers card. Please go vote. The Board Therapy Center for the best therapy center in the Acadiana region. It goes a long way. And if you are in need of physical therapy, even if you're in the Baton Rouge region, it is worth the drive to one of their 5 locations, the Board Therapy Center. It is power hour, LSU. Boom. Tonight, we are doing. What are we doing? Oh, we're doing tilapia. Let's go. Let's go.